it wasn't like it is now, where you might play, you know, GAA and soccer and all sorts of other games as well. It really had a stigma.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Well, it's been a roller coaster start to the new season for Connacht. Very happy to say their head coach Andy Friend joins us now. Hi, Andy.
How are you, Jack?
Yeah, great to have you with us. So I should mention before I forget to do it, because I'd say this will be an event that Connacht fans will be very keen to come and support, especially if they're living up in Dublin and can't always get down to Galway. The Ulster match on the 23rd of October kicks off at 5:15. That is going to be on at the Aviva Stadium. This is obviously being the day after the relaxing of pretty much most of the remaining restrictions. So tickets available at connachtrugby.ie. Connacht against Ulster, Aviva Stadium, Saturday 23rd of October. And I suspect you're hoping that will be a lively occasion and everybody comes out for it and we get to enjoy a bit of rugby at the Aviva Stadium. And well, it's been roller coaster start of the season, as I said. Cardiff away, disappointing. Brilliant against the Bulls in Galway. And then yesterday, whilst Ireland were playing over in Baku, so people maybe did or didn't catch the game, Connacht 22, Dragons 35. So I'm wondering, how many times have you watched this match back in the last 24 hours?
I've watched it back twice, and that'll do me, Joe.
Yeah,
listen, it was disappointing. We came off the high of the Bulls the previous week. We had a long 8-day turnaround. I felt like the preparation was good, but if we sit here today on a Sunday knowing that we've lost the game. Credit to the Dragons. I thought they were far more clinical than we were. But yeah, it's a disappointing result after a good performance against the Bulls.
It shows how difficult it is in rugby to follow up big performances and good performances. And everybody, you know, in the build-up to this game at the weekend was noting the performance against the Bulls, and then also noting Munster away and Ulster before the November internationals, and seeing this Dragons game as a great chance to get a second win and get some momentum. And obviously it hasn't happened, so hugely disappointing for everybody. You had maybe even noted before the start of the year that you were conscious maybe Connacht hadn't always got off to fast starts in the league, and you were hoping to put that right. So I'd say all of that is adding to the disappointment as well as the performance itself.
Yeah, I think the other big thing is, you know, we do attempt to pride ourselves on our performance at home, and you know, the away loss to Cardiff, I thought we were in the game up until the 66th minute, and we had an opportunity, we missed it. Cardiff were good enough to put us away, so that was disappointing. We had the great games, you said, against the Bulls, and then we came up against the Dragons team yesterday, where we had a really good prep. But it, you know, in upon reflection of that, did we put too much into the players' legs? And I think potentially we did. So we've got a new game style that we're trying to play. We have to be fresh for that. If I'm honest with you, Joe, I think I probably missed a trick during the week. We put too much into their legs, and we didn't have the running, as well as, I will say, the Dragons yesterday. I said when they had their opportunities, they were very, very clinical in taking them, and they deserved the win at the end of the night.
How fine is that balance between having a team well-prepped and fresh and putting too much into their legs?
Yeah, as we're finding at the moment, it's a very fine balance. You know, we had two pre-season games. One, our first one against Worcester, where I thought the prep was great. The next one against London Irish, we definitely overcooked the players, and we paid the penalty for that. We didn't get off to. It was a very similar game to last night, actually, where we were sort of there, but we couldn't execute. We couldn't finish. This was our first full week of training, because we'd been having Friday night games, so we had a Friday night into a Saturday night, which gave us an 8-day turnaround, which meant that we trained a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Again, it's everything's easy in hindsight, isn't it? So we look back, and I probably, you know, I think we put a bit too much into the players there. We ask them to play a fast game, a relentless game, but they've got to have the energy to do that. And we'll definitely be changing what we do in weeks to come, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, very interesting. So is that the extra day of training that's a killer, and you'd say in hindsight, actually, lads, just take that day off? Or is it that you would just do less, say, on the Friday or the Thursday?
Yeah, I think that our intentions are always good. Like, we're always intending to put the right program in place. But as I said, in hindsight, it's a great level and a great learner for you. If I look back on it, I'll say we've got a little bit of fluff around it that we didn't need, and you know, I suppose it's wants and needs. What do you need to have within a program, and what do you also want to have within a program? And we definitely got to hit the needs, but we've also had a few wants in there, which, again, as we're learning to play this new style, I think some of those wants might need to drop out in order to keep the players fresh. The most important thing is we get fresh bodies and minds on a game day. And I think yesterday we missed a trick with that one.
And would it be the kind of thing, Andy, where players might come to you and say, do you know what, don't know if we need this today, or I'd prefer a day off today as opposed to being in doing X, Y and Z? Or I mean, I guess it's early in the season for them to be coming to you and saying that.
Yeah, listen, the fellas are good. I mean, one thing you know about the Connacht lads, they're not going to shirk work. So
exactly,
we need to be conscious of that, of the fact that, you know, again, you'll get during any given week, we've got 43 bodies there. So you're going to get 43 bodies with slightly different responses. And it's the key ones you want to be listening to. Mm. I got the feeling during the week that maybe we felt a little bit fatigued, but there was another part of us thinking, well, come on, you've got to work through that. You've got to push through that. As I said, you know, history tells us now, though, that probably wasn't the right thing to do. So, as I said, we're, you know, it's only, as I said, the players last night and the staff last night, it's only game three, as disappointing as that is. And of course, we want to go out and try and win every game. As long as we're learning from those errors, and we spent some really good time last night post the game. Myself, Peter Wilkins, who's our senior coach, Dave Howarth, who's our head of athletic performance. We sat there till 10:30 last night, pouring back through the schedule, having a look at what we could have adjusted and what we will adjust going forward. A lot of phone calls today to different players and checking in with them to see how they were feeling with that. So, you know, it's the world doesn't stop for you. You've got to get back on it, and you've got to get back on to finding a solution to make sure this thing doesn't happen again. So I believe we've done that. We'll see what happens. We'll put that into motion tomorrow, and we've got the might of Munster at home the next Saturday.
Yeah, nice, easy one to get back on track with. And when you're ringing around a few of the players this morning, do they say, yeah, in hindsight, actually, we did do too much? Did you get that sense from the players?
Yeah, I think the boys are good too. Like, they're also honest enough to say, listen, we could probably do a bit more too. You know, we've got our own recovery techniques and you know, the time we get into bed and what we're eating and you know, the way we're looking after ourselves, we could be a bit better too. So, I mean, the key message at the end of the night in the change room was, you know, you get a loss like that. And I said, that's taking nothing away from the Dragons, because I thought they were good last night, very good last night. But that's a game I thought we should be winning. So
yeah,
we didn't. So when you get the loss like that, you got to look at it. You got to say, listen, fellas, we've all got to go and reflect. We've all got to look at what we did during this week and how can we be better. And that's the name of the game that we're in. Every single day you get an opportunity to get better. And if you can make those little incremental steps every day, you will get better. So, so we did that as a group of coaches. I know the players will have done that. We'll check in with the majority of them tomorrow, but I've, you know, picked up a few today just to check in with them. And their reflection was exactly that. Yeah, we could be a bit better with our hot and colds. We could be a bit better with our dietary, or, you know, the food that we're eating and what we're putting down our throats. We could be a little bit better with our sleep. So if we all just make those incremental gains, hopefully we'll eradicate what was a frustrating, what looked like a lackadaisical performance last night, and we can get back to that performance which we had against the Bulls, which we know is there, and that becomes a very difficult game to play against if you're the opposition.
Yeah, and one last one on this for me, because it is amazingly interesting and rare, by the way, to talk to a coach who comes on and puts their hand up like this after a performance in some respects, whilst I do accept what you're saying about the players and what they've said about their own recovery as well. It's rare we get a peek behind the curtain. Are we talking like an extra hour on their feet on a Friday, or plus an extra hour on a Thursday going through whatever extra bits you were going through? Is it that fine a margin that, like, it's 2-3 hours of extra work across the week, or is it more than that, or is it less than that? Because I don't have a strong sense of how much extra time we're talking here in terms of exertion during the week, which may have affected the performance yesterday.
Yeah, we added, and this is where it is fine margins, Joe. We added up all what, you know, what, it's not fluff. I called it fluff. It's probably been a little bit derogatory towards what we're doing, because there's some really good stuff we're putting in there. But the additional wants, if you like, let's call it that, we had 140 minutes of wants that we will now take out. And that's across a week. So that's over 4 days. So you do the averages there, that's 40 minutes a week, 40 minutes a day, sorry. So, or just under that 35 minutes a day. So it's not a lot. It's not like we're on our feet for 4 extra hours that we didn't need to be on our feet. But you know, they're the fine margins we're talking about, as well as what are the players doing around that. So I said, you know, we're not going to go into a witch hunt with the players. They're professional young men. You know, that's their job, their responsibility. At the end of the day, selection is the thing they're looking for. So if they're looking to be at their best, they're going to take on the support and the advice that Condon and the other rugby program offers for them. And, you know, it tends to be, we have a saying at Condon, we feed the hungry. If you're hungry, we'll give you the information. But you've got to be hungry. If you're not hungry looking for it, well, we're not going to come tap you on the shoulder. Yeah. And at the end of the day, if you're not doing that stuff, and your peers are, you're going to fall behind. So, yeah, it's always a balance, mate. And as you know, we work on fine margins. Every program does, but we certainly do. And we need to be at our peak the whole time in order to deliver that Bulls performance.
I accept that. And like, the really unfair thing is the extra work, the extra 140 minutes, if that's what the difference is, for instance, that's so well-intentioned. Like, there's such an honesty about that, as opposed to saying, yeah, no, I think we'll go and get a coffee. They're staying beyond to do the extra half hour on, I don't know what an example of a want is as opposed to a need. I'm sure the need stuff is very essential. Maybe the want is a nice shiny new move that they want to, you know, score a try with or something. But like, there's an honesty about doing the extra work, and it's well intentioned, as I said, and then it comes back and bites you in the ass. That's professionalism, isn't it? You've got to be so hard nosed and clear cut in what you're doing or not doing.
Yeah, you do. And yeah, as you say correctly, it's not a want, because it's a comfort thing. It's probably out of their comfort zone a touch. And some of the wants come from us as staff. You know, we might feel that we want a little bit extra time for you. Some of the wants come from the players, but we feel good when we do this. But again, if we are that hard-nosed and we do take that hard-nosed approach, which we are, it is now, listen, you know, let's be really clinical about this. Let's make sure that, again, and it comes down to the new game style we've got. We've probably got away with it previously because we're not looking to keep that ball in play for as long as we currently are. We had a 41 minutes and 30 second ball in play time against the Bulls. Last night was 37 minutes. Our average last year was 32 minutes. Now, it doesn't sound like a great deal of difference, but there's another, you know, last night, another 5 minutes of difference of ball in play time. Which can be quite significant, over 10%, probably 13, 14%. So in order to play at that style, and what we saw last night, we had opportunities, but we kept coughing the ball up because at the crucial moment when a potential line breaks on or a potential defensive set is on, we just slip off slightly and we knock the ball on, or we turn the ball over, we miss the tackle. And that was what we had against the Bulls. We weren't doing that, which meant that we could play through them and we could cut them open, and the rest is sort of history. So it is that fine balance. As I said, it is a new style, which I think is really exciting. I think when we master it, which we haven't yet, but when we do, we'll become a very, very difficult team to play against.
Yes, I'll ask you more about that new style in a second. For people who didn't see the game, because I am conscious it did clash a little bit with the Ireland match, in fairness, Connacht 12-8 up at half time, and I just turned on TG Carr and Marcus Horan was on, and he was saying, look, Connacht just need to up the pace a little bit, and the Dragons at times are very much walking to lineouts and taking their time, and it's been a bit stop-starty. And then second half, 47 minutes, Jordan Williams try. I suspect that's a try you're disappointed with, given you were numbered up okay. You got outside Tom Daly, and you've Ben O'Donnell there as well, and Tiernan O'Halloran there. And then, 5 minutes later, there's a second try. Suddenly you're 10 points down, and it's a really difficult way back. And you mentioned the other thing which jumped out to me watching the game was there were a number of really good moments. Sammy Arnold started making inroads, Caelan Blade as well, play was developing, and just some knock-ons at bad moments killed you. You did score a really good try, but those knock-ons kind of sucked away all the momentum. So that's an unbelievably frustrating watch for you in the coach's box, all told.
Yeah, it is. And you could, you know, I thought our halftime feedback to the players was spot on. We try and give one key message, and the key message was exactly that. It's 12-8. There's been no rugby played. They're trying to slow everything down. But at the same time, we'd fallen into that trap. So when it was our line out, we weren't getting to the line out quick to get the ball in, to get the ball, you know, to get the play going. Mm. When it was our scrum, we were slow to set up as they were. Then there was a reset, and then you're off you go again. So I thought the second half, we did pick the tempo of the game up. But with that tempo of the game, we made those little errors that allowed them to get into the game. And I said, they were really clinical with the way they finished those scores. And that scoreline crept away. We then got it back to 2017. And at that stage, I thought, right, we've adjusted the momentum. But then again, we have a, a 50-22 miss, and then they're in on top of us again, and that was, it was good night nurse from there.
Yeah. So you mentioned the new style of play a few times, which is really interesting to hear more about. Am I right in saying there, you said it's more ball and play effectively? Is that one of the key tenets?
Yeah, well, we've looked at our identity, and again, since I've been here the last 3 years, we haven't stipulated an exact style of play. We've probably played, we'll call it the Connacht way, which has been a blend of a lot of different things. But this year we came in and we said, well, let's put a few labels to that, and let's really work hard to say that every time we train, every time we play, we want to see these three things. And the three things is fast. So we want to be a team that plays with tempo. Why? Because historically that's when Connacht was at their best, and we're a different type of squad to other squads. We have an athlete that can be fast. You know, we often come up against bigger men and bigger squads, but if we can move them around as we did against the Bulls, we believe that could become our advantage rather than their size being an advantage or a disadvantage to us. So fast seems to suit the way we play. So that's the first part of our new rugby playing style and our identity. The second part is relentless, which is, again, I think a very much a West of Ireland trait, a kind of trait where, you know, to live in this part of the world, you've got to be relentless. You've got to be tough. You've got to keep going. You've got to find a way to do something different. You've got to have, you know, abilities to get back up and to go again and to go again. So that, again, I felt was, we felt as a coaching group, was very much part of the kind of DNA. So we put a name to it. You know, there's probably been called lots of other things. We talked about unrelenting. No, that's a negative. We talked about finding a way, you know, perseverance. No, we stuck with relentless. So relentless is the second part of that identity. And again, I think, you know, watch some of our defence, certainly in the Bulls game again, but we were very relentless. We just kept coming off the line and kept putting bodies in front and kept knocking big men back. So, and that's the way we've been training. We've been training a really fast, relentless type of intensity of training, which has been good for us. And then the third part of that identity is adaptable. And why adaptable? Well, again, we live in an environment where the weather could do something in the first half and something in the second half. So we need to be able to adapt. We play against teams from South Africa, teams from Scotland, teams from Wales, other teams from Ireland, teams from Italy. So we need to be able to adapt to the different game styles that those teams are going to bring to us. So we will have our own style, but we can be quite adaptable in the way we put that on the field, whether it's condition-based or whether it's opposition-based, as well as learning to adapt to a referee. They're all very different. Mm. And that was one of the frustrating things last night. You know, Marius van Westhuizen was really strong on the not roll away. We have a saying, like, if we give away a not roll away penalty, that's the only one for the night because we need to adapt.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't. We gave away a second one. It's like, no, that's, you know, that's not us. That's not our style. It's not our identity. So those three words, fast, relentless, adaptable. I said, we're not there yet, but there's certainly an energy and a drive to get us there with the way we train and the way we talk and the way we plan and prepare everything. And I said, when we get that right, and we saw a version of it against the Bulls, it becomes really powerful. I said, we're only game three into it. So
yeah.
Give us a few more games, and hopefully we can crack that, and that can be what everyone sees when they come to watch Connacht play.
I know the Lions in 2009 had a target of a ball and play for a certain number of minutes against the South Africans on that Lions tour in 2009. It was talked about by Leinster in advance of their game against La Rochelle. The season just gone. Do you have a certain ball for number of minutes in play target that you're trying to hit?
Well, we don't have a specific number at the moment because, again, the new laws, you know, the laws change every year, and that can have a real variance upon what the game provides. But we know we want to be in the top quarter of that in games played. So our first game against Cardiff, we felt was a slow game, and it was. It was a 32-minute ball in play time. Our next game was 41 minutes, and last night was 37 minutes. So around that sort of 36 minutes plus is where we want to be. Now we've hit that twice. And again, that fits in and feeds into the way that we train. We train with a real high intensity over game pace. So we have, you know, the players, when they've come out of that Bulls game, for example, they said, it's an easy game to play because it's a lot slower than what we do at training. That's when we've given them the energy to have that in the game. And so our learn from last night was even though it was a slower game than the Bulls, we probably sapped too much energy out of their legs during the week,
yeah.
which didn't allow them to feel that. And then they, you know, like us all as humans, you know, momentum goes against you, start to feel a little bit sore, a little bit more tired, and you start to feel a bit sorry for yourself. And you got an opposition that they become unrelenting, and they put it to us last night, and we're much better. So, yeah, we'll get that balance, Joe. And when we get the balance, I said it should be a really exciting, good brand to watch.
Well, I mean, it sounds it. How significant then are the bells and whistles around your preparation from a budgetary point of view? I ask that because I don't know if you read the piece. Bernard Jackman was writing in the Sunday Independent a couple of weeks back after your defeat to Cardiff, your away defeat, and he was in Bristol Airport, I think it was, and it was a red-eye flight Saturday morning, and he was not surprised, but he noted that the Connacht team were there that Saturday morning flying home, and like I said, early flight, so he was reckoning, well, they would have done well to get to bed by midnight. Do you sleep with adrenaline? Probably not too well, and then you're probably up at 4:30 to get to Bristol Airport for your flight home, and suddenly you've missed a night's sleep, you're only getting home Saturday afternoon, and your preparation for next week isn't so great, whereas a Leinster, for instance, charter a flight home. That would strike me when we're having the conversation we've just had about the balance of preparation across a week for yesterday's game. That kind of stuff would strike me as very, very significant. Is there no way, budgetary wise, IRFU or private funding, you can sort out that kind of stuff, or are those red eye flights, that's just part of the deal with being a Connacht player?
Yeah, that's what we've got at the moment. Anyone listening who's got a soft spot for Connacht rugby and wants to pay for charter flights, we'd be more than happy to talk to you. But no, that's where we are. And I said, and there's no complaints. Like, you know, every now and then, probably deep into the season, when it's your fourth or fifth trip away, there might be the odd bloke goes, Jesus, if only. And that's where COVID spoiled us, because we had, during the COVID period, we had those charter flights. I'd never been on one since I'd been here. It's heaven, because you duck down the road to Shannon Airport, which is still an hour away, but it's a lot better than 2.5 hours up to Dublin. You're on a flight, you're across there, you're playing your game, you're back on a flight, you're home in your own bed, albeit 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, and we had a 70% success away record during that COVID period, because travel became so much easier for us. We couldn't win at home, but we could win away from home. So, you listen, it is what it is, Joe, that you don't hear us complaining about that. That's what we've got. We know we've got that. That's part of that relentless attitude and being true to the squad that we've got and the finances that we have. We don't see it as an unfair advantage. It's just something that we've got, and we have to do things differently. We have to see things differently to other squads because we are different. So there's a good attitude around the staff and the players to that. I think human nature, everyone wants something that you haven't got. And if we could get it, brilliant. But because we don't have it, we're not going to sit here and say that's the reason we're having losses.
Jake White been in touch?
Funnily enough, he was. He did. He gave me I got a text message from him, and it was just a photo of an article that said, friend said he was ill-informed and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, that's interesting. So I parked that. And then next thing, there was a voicemail message came. And so I listened to that, and it was not a bad voicemail. So I picked up the phone. I rang him actually. And following on from his voicemail, we had a good chat. He apologized. He said he meant no disrespect by it. And he said it was ill-informed. I said, well, again, I believe you probably wish you'd never said it. And we probably wish you'd never said it, but you did give me a platform, Jake. And I use that platform to have a bit of a launch, because I do believe it's something that's happened too often since I've been here anyway, and I know previously. So I said, if it got more airtime than you wanted, my apologies, but thanks for the platform.
And well, that's fair enough. I mean, I think that's two adults picking up the phone and having a chat. That's better than not, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, and again, there's no point making enemies in this game, nor in life, I believe. Like, we can have differences of opinion. We can do things and say things that sometimes you wish you hadn't have said or done. But, you know, as long as someone doesn't burn you for that, that's fine. I said, you know, I respected the fact that he'd left me a voicemail message. Mm-hmm. I think he respected the fact that I picked up the phone and gave him a call. I've known Jake from previous years. He's always been good to me. So, I was happy that we'd had that chat. And as far as I'm concerned, that's parked.
Yeah, because it's old news at this stage. I didn't think in his interview he was trying to be malicious or stir the pot. I thought maybe it was a touch ill-informed and probably taken a grain of truth and morphing it into a much bigger point about Connacht. As you know, I didn't think he was like trying to get it under everyone's skin necessarily. Maybe I'm giving him too much of the benefit of the doubt here, but that was my sense as he was talking on the TV.
Yeah, I think again, and I probably agree with you, I think it was just ill-informed, but he said it's you know, it's one of, I was asked the question anyway, is it water off a duck's back? And that's why I said, well, no, it's not, because it happens too often, in my view, you know, little comments. And it's something that we're very aware of. It's something that, you know, and I use the example, I think, you know, this is the third year we've been in Champions Cup. I reckon when the draw comes out, every team's sitting there saying, geez, I hope I get Connacht. And we want them to go, well, I hope you wish after we've played you didn't get us. Now, we haven't been successful enough to do that yet, but that's where we want to get to. And in order for us to do that, we ourselves have to be winners. So we've got to master this new game style that we're playing. You know, we talk about being winners. We talk about being proud of the region that we're representing, of the club that we're representing, everyone who's gone before us, those who are currently here and serving, not just in the pro team, but, you know, for all the marketing people, all the commercial people, our ground staff, everybody that allows us to do what it is that we do, we should be really proud of that and respectful of that. And then that's the last thing, you know, for us to be respected, we need to be respectful too. So, you know, we've got a real focus on understanding more about Connacht rugby and Connacht itself, about trying to win and about trying to be respectful. And if we can do that, and if we can do that to the best of our ability, hopefully those little comments start to drop off. And when someone says, you know, Connacht rugby, geez, they're going to be tough. They're a tough team to play against, or they're a proud team. And, you know, that's a proud province, and you know, you're going to get an earful from their supporters. And if you come out of the sports ground with a win, you've done very well. That's what I'd like people to say about us, but we're not there yet.
Okay, well, listen, great to talk to you, and I'm sure you're super busy at the moment, so appreciate the time. It's Thomond Park, as you mentioned, next, and then Saturday, 23rd of October, kickoff 5:15 against Ulster, again in the United Rugby Championship, and that's at the Aviva Stadium. So anybody who fancies going along to that, you can get tickets, I know, at connachtrugby.ie, and I'm sure other places beyond. And then I guess draw breath during the November internationals a little bit. Andy Friend, great to have you on. Best of luck with the next couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll check in at some stage later in the season. Thanks so much, Andy.
Good on you, Jay. Good to talk.
Cheers. Andy Friend there, the Connacht coach. And our rugby coverage is with thanks to Vodafone, official sponsor of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in. We'll take a break.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
You're very welcome back. So we'll continue the rugby chat. Ulster on Friday beat Bennett on 28 points to 8. We were talking to Andy Friend just there about Connacht's defeat to the Dragons, and then Leinster yesterday against the Bulls, 43 points to 7 at the RDS. They obviously beat the Bulls and the Dragons in their opening two matches, Leinster, and just finished this afternoon, Munster away to the Scarlets, very comprehensive winners, 43 points to 13. And this was after Johan van Granden made 11 changes from the side that beat the Stormers last weekend. And largely second string, but a very impressive performance by the looks of things. Fiona Hayes, I'm very happy to say, is with us. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, Joe. How are you getting on?
Yeah, great. All is good. So I presume you were watching Munster 43, Scarlets 13. I was reading as well, Scarlets brought back a few of their bigger names. They probably thought second string Munster, we're at home, we'll give this a bit of a crack. Doesn't look like they offered much on the scoreboard, or maybe Munster were just very good.
No, absolutely not. I think Scarlets would be disappointed, but to be honest with you, I just thought Munster's defence was immense from the first whistle. They literally didn't give any Scarlets any space to work with. They were up with their line speed. Everything just seemed to click for them. And I think Scarlets were in shock for the first 20 minutes.
Right. Anyone catch the eye from a Munster perspective?
Yeah, I just thought the back row were absolutely outstanding. I mean, Clote got man of the match. He must have had about 5 or 6 turnovers at the breakdown, but got a good try on top of that. The work rate of Jack O'Donoghue was absolutely excellent, like outstanding. And I suppose you have to chat about Jack O'Sullivan. He's had a tough time with injury, and to just come back and put in a performance at number 8, he was quite good. But I just thought I just thought in general across the park, the young guns really put in a big shift. The West Cork Mafia, as they like to call them, Liam Coombs and the Witcherleys, it just seemed to click, and they seemed to be enjoying their rugby. And you know, we got to the wide channels, and we were seeing Stephen Larkham's influence really on that backline attack, so it was quite exciting.
All right, okay, I must watch this back, because one of the criticisms and it was maybe a touch overdone during the week, I appreciate, but one of the criticisms maybe from the Stormers game was we weren't seeing enough of that and the tries were too forward oriented, and the worry was, well, will they be able to do this against the bigger sides later in the season? So good to hear the phrase Larkham's fingerprints and not us asking where are they.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, Liam Coombs, I was a bit shocked to see him in that in the centre, but he put in a great performance defensively and got two tries on top of that as well. And he's the speed of a winger, so he got on the end of a lovely kick through by Jack O'Donoghue, gathered it in one hand. So it was really impressive all around.
I see Ben Healy played about 65 minutes. How did he go?
Yeah, Ben was really good. He was composed. I think the Scarlets 10 didn't have his best game at the office. Like he kicked the ball out a few times on the foley, missed touch a few times as well. So Ben just excelled in the game. He seemed to gain confidence from his errors, and he was just playing on the gain line, and that's what we want to see. Spread the ball wide, couple of over the top passes we scored off as well. So his skill set is really widening with every game he plays. Putting pressure on Joey, I think.
Well, I half asked because Niamh Briggs was on with us during the week, and she was saying, you know, she's a fan of Joey Carberry. Obviously, I think we all are. His credentials are obvious and the potential is obvious, and she was saying she's not sure 10 is his best position. Remains to be seen where he'll spend most of his time across his career. So I guess if there's a ready-made 10, either, as you said, putting pressure on him or even, you know, shoving him elsewhere to 15, I guess Niamh was talking about, then that could be interesting. But regardless of what Carberry's best position is, you do think Healy is putting a bit of pressure on him?
I definitely do. And I mean, Jack Crowley came on as well, and he's another guy that's been talked up in the last couple of years that hasn't really got much game time, but he came on and done a really good job as well. I suppose when we look at Carberry, when we look at Joey, we're waiting, everyone's talking about the injuries had, and we're waiting for him to put in that massive performance. He shows bits and bobs a bit of time, but he still hasn't had that man of the match performance game. And I mean, look, that's what Munster need. And with Ben coming in there, I mean, we know where he can kick the ball from. He can kick the ball from inside his own half. He offers you that as well. But with his skill set and playing flat, getting the ball out wide on the gain line, the way we like to play, big carries from the lads, it just, I would imagine he's putting serious pressure on Joey, because he just doesn't seem to be getting 100% taken over yet.
Yeah, because we have, I mean, I always remember, it's going back a while now, like it's going back to January 2019 when Carberry puts in this virtuoso performance against Gloucester and scored like 26 points in the Champions Cup. And that seemed like, wow, he's here. You know, this is going to work out beautifully. And then the injury happened and now he's still fighting his way back, I suppose. Have you seen him, Fiona, play on the gain line and do the things you're looking for, and this is just a case of trying to get back from injury? Or have you always had a slight question mark over his credentials when it comes to doing things like playing on the line or grabbing the game the way you're talking about?
Yeah, like we saw it in these early days, I think, in Leinster. He just played so freely on the gain line. He was able to, like, he just had a confidence in playing. And I know he had that big game at Munster, but I haven't seen it even before the injury. I haven't seen it enough in games. And I think there's a weight on his shoulders at the minute, and you can see the pressure on him. And he doesn't seem to be, for me, he doesn't seem to be enjoying his rugby. I think he just needs to get that really big game under his belt. That's where we want him. We want him playing in the gain line. We want him putting attacking defences, putting people away, but he's also able to play back and get the ball out wide. He offers you all these type of things as a 10 on top of his kicking game, and it's just not 100% there yet. And we're waiting. So I suppose this season will really tell, because as I said, Ben Healy's chomping at his heels and he could easily take over that spot.
I didn't see this afternoon's game against the Scarlets. Anything else worth the mention? There was nothing dramatic?
A bit disappointing. So Orgie Snyman came on, and he was probably only on the park for maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes, had a lovely deft little pullback pass and everything, and about 2 minutes later he went off limping with his knee. It's not the same knee, but it did look like it could be not great for him. I'm not too sure. He just went off, there wasn't much said about it, but he was immediately taken inside the stand. He didn't sit up and with the lads at all. He went straight into the medical room.
All right, that would be miserable. If
absolutely, my heart went
twice.
Out him.
Oh yeah. I wanted to ask you about Ulster on Friday night. Again, you know, you're back to that Friday night atmosphere under lights up at Kingspan, and they're obviously all thrilled to have their rugby back. 28 points to 8 against Benetton. Nathan Doak is making a bit of a name for himself early doors this season. He came on for John Cooney, who went off injured against Glasgow. He scored a try and played very well, 19 years of age. He started, obviously, on Friday. He started the game in between as well. That was a fairly routine win against the Italians. But he started on Friday and again scored two tries, four conversions, 18 points. He scored a try in the first half. He also scored the try which got the bonus point late on. I think we're entitled to be getting a bit excited by this guy, even though he's 19. And I mean, it sort of seems like he can do it all a little bit.
Yeah, he's very exciting to watch. I mean, I watched him with the 20s as well. I mean, there was a lot of talk about him. And you know, when you watch those 20 games, you wonder, can they immediately step up to that senior level with their provinces? And he seems to just waltz in there and is really playing really, really confidently. I was really excited watching him. You know, he's a sniper. He sees things. He's aware. He's looking around him constantly. He's a really exciting nine to watch. And I just said, on top of those two tries, he said two man of the match performance as well, 2 weeks in a row, which is massive for him.
Well, I was thinking of his try against Glasgow, where he times the run perfectly, doesn't get ahead of the ball, arrives on time, and then even for his first try on Friday, I think it was some kind of maybe set piece move off a line out, but he again runs a great line. I'm not, take this in the way it's meant, but you think of the way Anton Dupont makes running these lines look very, very easy. Like, there's times I watch Dupont and think, well, I could score those. If all you have to do is run there and you get the pass, it's easy. But like, there was a degree of real smarts about Doug, the way he ran these lines and picked up relatively easy tries, finished them off.
Yeah, it's that. It's all seems exactly what you're saying. It all seems so natural. He's going out there playing. You know, I suppose a lot of nines, you know, you're learning your trade. It's a very technical area, especially now as well, when you're looking at box kick and everything. But he just seems to go out there and it's almost like a natural instinct to him. And exactly right. Those tries, he's holding his feet. He's well able to hold his feet. He's picking. He's seen those gaps. He's always aware. You can see him always looking. And that's an exciting thing to have, you know. A lot of players don't have that, and he just seems to have that natural ability to be able to see that and run a line, and also, you know, snipe and give. Obviously he gives the ball and a play to the forwards at times as well. His passing is absolutely on point as well. Very rarely let you down with his passing.
Andy Farrell was at the stadium. Camera picked him out once or twice. We kind of, I mean, when we're talking about who's going to follow Johnny Sexton, we can forget a little bit that Billy Burns is really, you know, prominent in Andy Farrell's thoughts. And we saw that last year. He had he had no other option. You felt it was more Ulster maybe running out of ideas, but he had a good kick for the Gilroy try and he switched play with his boot before that. What about his general play, Billy Burns? Where do you think he is in the pecking order of all those fighting it out currently to stand in for Johnny Sexton with a view, say, to November even?
Yeah, it's a funny one because, I mean, it was only last week a lot of people were talking about Jack Carty. You know, he had an absolutely outstanding game for Connacht. And then this week, there's not much talk about him. I watched Billy Burns. He done all the basic things right. And as you said, that kick across field with the penalty advantage to Gilroy was absolutely class. It was pinpoint. And he does definitely off you that. And he is a really good player. But I feel like he's a little inconsistent at times. And I think all the tens in the pecking order behind Johnny seem to have the same problem. We're looking at him 1 week saying, oh my God, straight into that Irish jersey. And then next week, we're looking at someone else. So it's a funny thing. When they play well, they're really, really playing well, but it's trying to get that consistency across the board.
Meanwhile, at the RDS, Leinster 43, Zebre 7 points. I think after Rodney Parade the week before, everybody looked at Zebre and said, this is going to be no fun for you guys.
Yeah.
this will not happen twice. So first try after 2 minutes, Scott Penny. Jordan Larmer, 13 minutes. Adam Byrne, good for him, back after a long time out, 22 months out. Adam Byrne on 39 minutes. Ed Byrne, 43 minutes. Sean Cronin, 46 minutes. Adam Byrne, 49 minutes. Keller on 64 minutes. And it's an annihilation. Speaking of the out-halves, Harry Byrne, unfortunately for him, because every time we kind of want to get a look at Harry Byrne, he seems to pick up a knock or an injury or injured in a warm-up. He went off after 22 minutes. Johnny Sexton comes on and once again proves he's the class act when it comes to tens in Irish rugby, doesn't he?
I know. And I think I was reading an article, Leo Cullen, like compared it to Tom Brady, you know, he said like he could be around when he's 44 and he was even joking himself, said he might come out of retirement at that age if people can play to that age. But he's had his break. I mean, he just looks fresh out. They've spoken how he probably hasn't done a preseason with Leinster in a very, very long time, you know, and you can see it. He's obviously had the summer off. He's trained. He's clicking. He's completely completely controlling the play. And obviously for Harry Byrne, it was awful to see him going off. He's another guy that keeps getting niggles here and there. I think he was hitting the hip.
Yeah.
It was a nasty one to see. But when Johnny to come on at 20 minutes into the game and also get a man of the match as well, it just shows how important he is to Irish rugby. And the fact that he is consistently playing really, really well, and they see Leinster seem to be really managing him correctly as well. You know, he's in, he's out, he's getting enough game time, but they're also looking at his age and trying to preserve him, I suppose, for further down the line when they'll really need him. So he's playing really great rugby, and I just think for Ireland it was almost great that he wasn't called up to that Lions team, because he's going to have a point to prove, I think, when it comes to obviously November or whenever next Six Nations. Definitely he's going to put his hand up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see what Andy Farrell does, because Andy Farrell would be entitled to think to himself, well, I need to get 20, 30 caps into whatever out half might realistically make the World Cup if Johnny doesn't make it. And so Six Nations, perfect time to do that, or November as well. And yet the other side of the coin is, like, we know what we're like. If the Six Nations is on and things aren't going well for Ireland, Andy Friend will be getting it in the neck, and the people are saying, well, do we need to pull the plug on this? Like the previous Six Nations thing, if they hadn't beaten England, things could have got very ugly. So in that sense, if you're Andy Farrell, you're saying, well, Johnny, in you go, because I need to win these games as well. And that is constantly the dilemma.
Definitely, it's such a huge dilemma. You know, you think about it, and you're constantly talking about the Craig Casey's, we're talking about Nathan Doak, just generally getting these players in there to get capped and get them to experience that international level. But on the other hand, you have to be winning games, and at 9-10 they're such pivotal, especially 10. And we've seen Ireland without Johnny Sexton at times, and you know, people could talk about his form, whatever, in and out, but when he plays with Ireland and he's playing and everyone else around him is playing well, I think we're probably one of the best teams in the world when Johnny is on top form and we're playing really well. So you've got that pressure as well when you come to, I think maybe November might be a chance to maybe get a couple of guys in there and give him a shot. Yeah. But I definitely think come Six Nations time, if things are going the way they are and players are playing the way they are at the minute, I think it's Johnny Sexton to be our starting 10.
Before we let you go, we had Andy Friend on the show just before you came on, and Connacht lost to Dragons 22-35 yesterday. Really disappointing. I thought they, you know, they would have looked at the Bulls win and thought, great chance to get two wins in a row, because they've Munster and Ulster to come. And it was fascinating. Andy Friend gave us a real peek behind the curtain, and he just said, we did too much during the week is our analysis. And they were looking at the training schedule. They reckon maybe 140 minutes across the week that they didn't need, the kind of stuff that he says the wants, as in the little bits we wanted to work on as opposed to the bits we really needed to work on. And that was their conclusion, and that was his reasoning for maybe a certain flatness in the Connacht tempo, and that cost them the game to a large extent. So it was an amazing insight for him to come on and give us, and almost put his own hand up a little bit. So that's, well, you have it. I mean, I don't need all the analysis from you, and that kind of answered the question a little bit as to what happened Connacht.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's good. It takes the pressure off the players when a coach can come out and you know, put their hand up and say, look, we did too much this week. But I know other than analysis, and he'll say that, but that Dragons team have become very, very strong. I watched them against Leinster. You know, people talked about how bad Leinster was. They were absolutely, their defence has changed. They're like a different team to watch. They are playing really, really powerful rugby. And I think, to be fair to Connacht, their ball was slowed down. Andy Friend brings such exciting rugby to Ireland. We all love watching Connacht when they're good. They're really, really good. But if they can't get that quick ball, and they're going to have to go back to the drawing board and figure out what they could do if they can't get that ball in the plate, because I think a lot of teams will be looking at that Dragons game and seeing how, and having had a look at how they slowed Connacht down, and it absolutely killed them in the end. They just couldn't get momentum.
Yeah. So that, yeah, slow them down and then see what they got will be the plan they'll face over the coming weeks.
I would imagine so. I would imagine now, I'm not too sure about Munster having come on off that performance today. They'd be looking at getting going themselves.
Yeah.
They were, their footwork and contact, everything was just on point. And if they bring that next week, obviously it'd be a very changed side, I'd imagine. I would imagine they'd be looking at putting the foot down on Connacht and going for the juggler.
Okay. Well, look, it's good if the Dragons are improving. I mean, the whole league needs as many competitive sides as possible. What have you made of the whole South African introduction thus far, broad terms? I know we're only 3 weeks in.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's a lot of negative talk around it. I think they've travelled over, you know, you have to pay their dues. They've travelled over. I mean, I've watched a lot of rugby over in South Africa, and I've watched them play, and people were like, oh yeah, they're going to come over here, and you know, like, so the Sharks, the Bulls, they're huge franchises, and they're going to come over here, and we're going to be in for massive, big, powerful packs. But we haven't seen it. It's actually really strange. In all the games, they haven't used their pack like South Africa use their pack. Do you know what I mean? That's South African rugby that we love watching, that big physical powerful hit, massive lineouts. We haven't seen that. So I don't know. I think it's improving with every week that I'm watching. And it was a Friday night, and the absolute like genius drop goals that were used to you know, for that 50-22 dropout. I mean, there was it two drop goals scored on Friday night. I mean, like, they're innovative, and they're looking at the game constantly and changing it. But I think they need to go back to that old style of powerful and that powerful rugby game. And I mean, their backs are quite explosive, but over here, I don't know if it's the traveling, if it's they're literally moving around Europe. I suppose you have to look at that as well, and that does take its toll on a team away from their family.
Yeah.
But I do believe the rugby has gotten better each week. I think they've come over here, they got the shock. I mean, against Benetton in the final, we all thought Benetton were going to be killed in that. So they've realised that the standard of rugby is much, much higher over here. And I think they're adjusting to that week in, week out, and the teams are definitely getting better.
Well, listen, great having you on, Fiona Hayes. Brilliant stuff. Thanks so much.
No bother, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Fiona Hayes there with her thoughts on the weekend's rugby, and our coverage is with thanks to Vodafone, official sponsor of the Irish rugby team, Team of Us, everyone in. There is, I promise you, a brilliant interview coming up after 6 o'clock with Brendan Doyle. Well worth sticking around for.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us. Everyone in.